Okay, let's see if this is working here. I'm going to test the Okay, it is working here. Good. All right, this is Nick G's Cave recorded today. This is Wednesday. Okay, this is September 7th, 2022. That is 09072022. And we are working here. And just so that everyone knows, I am using the VoIP system here. And hopefully, things are continuing to work, and I'm on Lynn phone today with the SIP. It is nice that it works. Hopefully this is interesting. Hopefully something works great here. And I don't know if others are aware of if this show is actually streaming out or not, but we will hopefully find that out. If anybody else is listening, that's good. If not, well, that's okay. Let me go ahead and turn this down a bit because we were getting some echoes, but hopefully we will not get echoes anymore. Let me just ask in com here. Is any audio coming through? And we will see what we get here. Like I said, just because I'm getting, audio coming through my end, monitoring this does not necessarily always mean that everybody else can hear it. So hopefully we will get some feedback as to if this works. If anyone wishes to dial into the show, you can dial into the show, and the number is 929-299-1279. At least that's what it said on the web portal when I looked it up just a little bit ago. And if you are on the SIP STF extension system, that's sip.stf.org, SIP, the extension is 1095, and they have the phone number as well, so you can dial in that way. I actually prefer this method because the VoIP, just because it's convenient. And it works, and it's something that I can deal with. And so And this way I don't have to mess with 30 different things. The reason that there was no show last week is because of the fact that something was broken and I was unable to figure out exactly what was the problem. So okay, apparently we are getting some noise here. I'm monitoring it through my Victor Reader Trek GPS player, and that's from humanware.com, and I'm totally blind, and it is a blindness-specific player. It also has a GPS global positioning system in it so that you can I don't recommend using it walking down the street listening to music. In fact, you have to switch it to orientation mode, and the maps have to be installed on the device. It comes with the North America maps pre-installed, and that was the player that the battery spring and latch fell apart. So literally the only thing that was holding the device together was the silicone case, which wasn't really helping matters. So I had to send it in, get it fixed, and it was, of course, repaired. So I was not too thrilled at the fact of sending in a device, but all my important data on my SD card, my 32 gig SD card, was saved. I took it out, so I didn't lose anything, which obviously is a plus. And again, we are waiting to see if anybody responds in comm as to whether anything is coming through or not, because just because I can hear it on my end doesn't mean that it's always coming through everywhere. So I actually like Linphone. It is open source, and it's a nice product. So it does definitely do what it's supposed to do. And this is nice to have a way to just dial into the system and do the show and not have to worry about messing with my 11-year-old, yes, I said 11-year-old MacBook Pro. It is the late model 2011 17-inch, which apparently they don't make the 17-inch, and they haven't made it for years. Mine is upgraded to 10.13.6. It came with 10.7. It came with Lion, and then it's now running High Sierra. And I know I did not upgrade it to the new Apple file system, because when I tried to do that, it's not that it didn't work, it's that the hard drive would get slower and slower and slower, and Disk Utility would report all these errors and problems, and it was getting to the point where it was not worth the mess. So I just had everything backed up, redowngraded to, well, I didn't redowngrade, I just had to reformat and then copy everything back on, and then it was done, and no big deal, and I just left it at that, and it works. I like the fact that I can just dial in. And now, what I haven't tested, and I don't think I will test it here, is whether the Linphone will work on the cell towers or whether it requires Wi-Fi. I'm thinking that it would work with both, but I do not know if it will jump over to Wi-Fi or to the cell towers from the Wi-Fi. But Tom is very quiet this morning. Usually they're very active. And that's odd, because we I don't know what we're going to get here today. I maybe need to find out more about how this thing works, Lindphone works, because apparently it can do a lot of interesting things, and you know, it's a nice system. So anyway. Now, what I'm curious about is the fact Lindphone, I don't know if it can, I think it can do multiple SIP accounts, but I'm not 100% certain. I guess worst comes to worst, if I needed to do multiple SIP accounts, I could always, if Lindphone can't do it, I can always install another free SIP client. There's a lot of them out there. But Lindphone is just the one that came up, and this is on Android 13, and the Google Pixel 5, which is a nice phone. I'm not the one that upgrades whenever a new model is released. I generally upgrade when the phone reaches its end of life, and when you get the notice that says that this is your final update. If you need support, please go to this Google website. And, of course, then you know that, well, you might want to start looking at a new phone, because what I did was the Google Pixel 5 was coming out, and I'd already, I had the regular Pixel, and it would it worked wonders. And then I got that update because I was testing out the beta versions of Android. No more betas, no more stables, and you get that dreaded announcement that said that the phone was not getting updates. And so as a result, it was time to get a new phone. And rather than, you know, battle with the differences between the Verizon Wireless Google Pixel 5 and the unlocked Google Pixel 5, I just chose to get the unlocked Google Pixel 5 because, since I am totally blind, I didn't want to buy all of their bloatware. And I hear that they don't put a lot of bloatware on the new ones, but I like to be cautious. And they did have a trade-in program. Trading program, of course, doesn't give you much for it, if at all. I don't think I really got anything for it, but at least it keeps it out of the garbage, and you send it in, and they recycle it for you. So, and especially with a phone that is that old, and its battery wasn't working well, and it would say it would be on the charger, and it would say that it was dead, and so it would say it was dead. And then I would be like, wait a minute, it says it's at 100%, but yet it tells me that its battery needs charged. So I don't know what to do. I was scared to shut it down because I was afraid that if I shut it down, it wouldn't turn on again. But what I did was I went and I, of course, shut it down and turned it back on. I rebooted the phone, just the restart option, the power menu. And then what I did was I let that let it restart, and, of course, the phone worked fine. This phone is dead at 100% when message went away. And then it went back to this weird thing where it would say, your phone is at 0%, yet it's charged up and it's ready to go. And I knew then that it was time to get a new phone. When the phone starts acting that way, um, Okay, I was listening to eSpeak on my Linux laptop there in Calm, and apparently it is streaming, supposedly. We haven't heard anything from anybody yet, but who knows? People may hear it in the archives. But, yeah, when a phone starts acting that weird, where the battery tells you it's charged and it's dead, and it's 0%, yet it's fully charged and all that, it's just a matter of time before the phone won't turn on anymore. And, yeah, it was time to get a new phone. I don't know. Okay. I don't know why you did that. That is my that is my MacBook Pro there, and it is telling me that there's a notification. Yet there is no notification, so I don't know what that's about. But make sure that we're not running into any trouble or problems with it. The good news is we're not using the Mac for broadcasting today, so we don't have to worry about anything. I think for now I will stick with this VoIP method, at least until we find out another working method. I've got some other ways to do it to broadcast here, but I want to make sure that they work before I use them here so that we don't end up like we ended up last week with no show because nothing was working right and I don't know what the issue was. So, anyway. Yeah, interesting about the phone thing. Yeah, just be aware that maybe I should have traded that phone in before the battery went dead, but completely. But, I mean, it would still turn on and work, and then I would unplug it and it would work for maybe, that'd be mixed results. It'd work for maybe 2 hours. And it would also be times where I'd unplug it, it was fully charged 100%, and it would work for maybe 15 minutes. And it would tell me that the battery's dead and it needs to be plugged in. And so, therefore, that's kind of when you got to look at it and go, wait a minute here. You got to get a new phone. Are you going to run into an issue where it won't work? And hopefully, we will have a better outcome. Of course, this new Pixel 5 supports wireless charging. I've had it for a few years now, and so far the battery hasn't had any trouble. It's actually working better than the old one was, obviously. It is very good to have a working phone. I mean, this was a few years ago I sent it in. So, but you know, I don't upgrade right away when a new one comes out. I wait until they stop the updates. Once the updates stop, that's when I get a new one, and it's always good to get a new one. Well, it sounds like the phone won't work anymore. You'll still get app updates. It's just OS updates you won't get. And that can be a bit of a mess. But yeah. I guess you can't pre-order phones, make them where, because otherwise they'd send you every new phone on the market, which, you know, I don't want. That's why I wait to get the new one when it comes out. Well, I pre-ordered this 5, this Pixel 5 Pixel, and it's a nice phone. Of course, I unlocked the bootloader and everything. Not that I'd want to root it. I mean, I could root it. Because the magic wipe has already been done. That's why I went through. I didn't even set up the phone. I just, skipped through the setup, went to enable developer mode, unlocked the bootloader, enabled the OEM unlocking, unlocked the bootloader, and then we set up the phone. So it's ready to be rooted or whatever you want to do with it. I was wondering why that unlock bootloader wipes your phone of data. They say it's security related, which it could be, but I mean, it's your data. And I guess generally speaking, on most occasions when you factory wipe a phone or factory reset, there is no way to recover your data, even a data recovery lab. Some claim to be able to do it, but it's hit or miss. And I think these newer phones use hardware encryption keys so that it's even more complicated to recover the data. Of course, you never say never, because you hear about it happening. And the average user wouldn't be able to do it. And most data recovery labs, I've never actually sent a phone in that had been wiped. I don't understand as to why you really would. I guess if you had a photo on there that you had to get back. But my view is that in order to factory reset your phone, you have to go to the option, hit a button. It says, are you sure you want to do this? You hit a button again, and then it asks for your password. And then there's a final, confirm screen that it goes through that it says, and then that's it. And that is a nice thing. Of course, they protect you, of course, so that you don't accidentally wipe your phone or somebody else can't wipe it for you. You have to know the password on your phone to wipe it and also to unlock it. And I guess Google's not going to unlock your phone for you. That's why they tell you don't leave it when you send it in. Make sure it's factory wiped, which, of course, I did. And Calm is very quiet this morning. Usually there's some activity, but today there's not. But anyway, I mean, no big deal. I will keep talking here. I always wondered about the what the factory wipe does to a device, like how it internally, does it just? I know it just doesn't do a simple erase; it does something else. But I'd love to know exactly what it does. But, you should kind of, I guess they don't really tell you that. It might be hardware design. Like, each hardware has their own way that it does the factory wipe. Because I've tried to look
through Android's developer documentation, and it doesn't really, you can't really find much info on it. But there's not much really, I mean, there is US developer documentation, but it's more like how to, you know, include your own images and stuff like that. It doesn't have a real the nice thing is that Android is open source. Of course, that's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's open source and they can do what they want with it. It's a bad thing also because it's open source and they can do anything they want with it, which means that they can, if a manufacturer doesn't want to release updates, they don't have to release updates to their phone. And so therefore, they don't have to. And I'm going to assume here that we are working and that everything is in a working mode. And I'm just going to keep talking. And if it's not working, then I guess, well, I don't know how we won't know that, but I can hear it over here through the speaker. But, like I say, I'm going to assume that it is working and functioning well. And everything's working. On my server that I bought, one of SDF's old servers, it's a nice server. It's a Supermicro server, and it does function. It absolutely works. I'm still looking for a place in the house to put it. Okay. Okay, good. They can hear audio good. Okay, that's good news. Okay, let me just write that in here. Okay, things are working. Okay, that's good news, because that's why I'm not just talking to dead air. Okay, anyway, the server works fine. There's nothing wrong with the server. It's a great server. It does what it needs to do. It's just very loud, and I just got to find a place to put it in the house where it's not going to be disruptive to everybody. By the TV is not an ideal place because it's you wouldn't be able to watch TV. Well, actually, you probably would once you got used to it. It probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I don't. It's got fans above it and it's got fans below it on the top and the bottom, so it pulls in air from all locations to cool itself. And I do know that it's got 3 enterprise grade disks, which are nice disks.
Dr. Trevor, 10 a.m.
We have. Okay, and he's speaking on my phone, was talking there, don't know exactly what he was talking about. The weird thing is that in LinPhone, there is route audio to the speaker. I have that option selected. However, the eSpeak with TalkBack audio is going through the earpiece. So my phone is sitting right now on the desk on my MacBook Pro, which I'm not using right now.
And let me just say,
super micro servers, if it is on the ground with nothing on top of it, should it be fine? Like I say, I don't want to burn the thing up. And that would not be pretty. The thing weighs about 50 pounds or so. And it was a nice system. But I don't want to, I want to put it somewhere where it's not going to cause problems. And the nice thing is that the server, I don't think it has any CD drives or whatever built in it. I think it's all, you have to plug in USBs, which at first I was a little, when laptops and stuff lost the optical discs, I was a little annoyed, but then I realized that it's a good thing. Because my one laptop, the Asus G73SW that I had from Best Buy, which they wanted to do a diagnostic check when I told them that the drive was broken, the CD DVD drive was broken, the Slim Type DVD-R drive was broken, and rather than fix it, they sent it to a service center. Okay, it should be fine. There's nothing that's obstructing the airflow. Okay, then I can't put it on the ground. Okay, I should, trying to think of how to figure that out. But yeah, back to this discussion real quick of the laptop's drive. The drive was broken. Rather than replace it at the store, they sent it to the service center. And the service center took a look at it, told them it'd be about $300 to replace. Well, the issue is that you couldn't really do a reload of the OS with an external. I tried it. It wouldn't function. Windows would run fine. That's when they muted the sound. And I had to get help unmuting the sound and fixing the audio. And I don't mind talking bad about Geek Squad from Best Buy because they kind of deserve it. They don't really understand about accessibility. Even when I explain to them, please don't mess with the sound because I am totally blind and I need the audio. Of course, who knows who actually worked on my system. But let's just say the review that I gave them wasn't a pretty one. On the phone, rather. And of course, I couldn't get a hold of the person who actually worked on my machine. Oh, no. They couldn't give out that info. That's one of the reasons why, the way I'm kind of glad they stopped doing the optical drive built in because of some breaks. And yes, I did get the drive replaced with the model that did Blu-rays burning as well. It was a nice drive. It worked wonders. But, I was just saying, recommend Best Buy for their repair services, but because sometimes they don't understand what they're doing, and I've heard other friends of mine use them and come back with devices that are worse off than when they took them there. So it's not only me that's had a bad problem with them, and like I say, I hate to bash companies, but they kind of deserve it when they don't do things the way that they're supposed to. But But so far, this System 76 Serval WS laptop, which is my new Windows laptop. Yes, there's Linux on it as well. There's Pop OS on it. I don't really use it much, but it's on. It came with it, so I left it on there. It's got 64 gigs of RAM. It's got 3.3 gigahertz processor, upgradable overclocks to 5 gigahertz when it needs to. It's got two drives that are NVMe drives. One is the Pop OS drive, and the second one is the Windows drive. They're both 2 terabytes. And then it has two drives, which are Samsung SSDs that are 4 terabytes in size. Each one of them is 4 terabytes for regular storage. So the total's got 12 terabytes of storage. It's got 64 gigs of RAM. And it's got it's got a USB-C port and a Thunderbolt port. To me, they feel alike. They do the same thing. So far, I haven't run into an issue with them. And then it's got 4 regular USB 2.0 ports. And so it's a nice system. And I did have to, and this is another thing I hate about laptops and devices, is when you sell laptops, have everything turned on in the BIOS so that I don't have to go into the BIOS and turn on the TPM, the Trusted Platform Module. I'd actually go into the BIOS and turn that on because, it wasn't turned on from the factory. Why it wasn't turned on, I don't know. It's kind of like other devices. Well, they'll release them, but things aren't working yet, or the device isn't turned on yet. And I've done battery tests, and apparently, with the TPM turned on, the Trusted Platform Module, which is hardware encryption, which Windows 11 requires to be enabled, the device doesn't really consume much more power, if at all. Why it's not shipped, turned on from the factory, I can't tell you. It's kind of like my BookPort Plus by the American Printing House for the Blind. It's kind of like that player. The player had a wireless radio in it that wasn't turned on when the device came out. About a year later, they released a software update that turned on the radio. And again, it's kind of like, why sell these devices that aren't complete? And to me, it's kind of like, you know, instead of paying, I think it was $300 for it, I should have only had to pay $150 because the wireless radio didn't work yet. And it wasn't, you know, enabled in the firmware. And it's kind of like, why make a device and it not be ready and they sell it? I don't understand that. I do not understand that. But, that's an interesting concept. And the device had been out about a year by the time I bought it, and the wireless radio still wasn't on. I had to wait another, I believe it was 6 months for the updates to come out with the radio, the wireless radio turning on. And, it was interesting. But, you know, at least it works now. But still, you know, why sell a device that's not yet complete is beyond me. I think it's more of a rush to get it out the door than to really always please customers. But, it's interesting. That'd be like selling a cell phone with the cell radio not working yet, or the Bluetooth radio not turned on yet. I wouldn't be surprised if it has Bluetooth hardware in it either. That, well, it's just not turned on yet, and they don't update it anymore. You can't get them new anymore. You have to find people that haven't used, and I've been looking for a spare one in case mine breaks. But so far, mine is doing okay. They still repair them at the American Printing House for the Blind, so if mine breaks, I send it in and get it fixed. I try not to do that or break it. But, you know, it's basically, the Bookport Plus is actually based off of another player, the Plextalk Pocket. I have the Plextalk Pocket Lineal, which is the newest model. It's got 8 gigs of internal storage in it. And I always use SD cards. And the nice thing about those two players is they feel pretty much identical, except the Plextalk Pocket Lineal from the Bookport Plus is a little more smooth, glossier finish. And the speech is a little different, but, I mean, they do similar things. They can use the same formats. I mainly use it for recording when I go places. And the recordings, of course, you can interchangeably move things between those two devices. The one thing that doesn't move between the two devices, unfortunately, is your bookmarks. So if you put a bookmark in something and you move it to another player, I really wish they would have, you know, these DAISY, Digital Talking Book Players for the Blind. DAISY is an acronym that stands for Digital Accessible Information Systems. And you would think that they would have come up with some sort of an XML bookmark feature for these players that was universal and could be used to transport bookmarks across devices. But of course, that would mean cooperation amongst the players, the manufacturers of players, which is obviously something that probably does not happen often. I guess it could always be in the specifications for the formats, but you know, I guess that's something they didn't really think of, or they figured, well, users don't want to move their bookmarks around, which I can think of several cases where I wanted to move my bookmarks around, but was unable to do so because they're stored in the player's internal memory. But in any device's internal memory, for that matter. I should look into, they did make, one company did make a player, Hymns Incorporated made a player that has OCR technology in place. It has a camera where it can take supposedly snap printed paper and printed paper and make it work, read out loud. Unfortunately, I haven't got it to read one thing since I bought it. When it tries to snap a photo, it's trying to line up the lens of the camera, and you can hear the lens in there clicking as it's trying to line everything up and get everything ready to go. And during that process, you can't back out of it. It's basically frozen. And, of course, I always have the lights on when I use it. I have the Blaze EZ, which does not have a number pad. They also make the ET, which does have a number pad and is supported. The EZ is not supported anymore in terms of updates, but they do support it in terms of repairs. They don't sell them new. But, like I say, I mainly use that one for recording, and that one is probably the highest quality recorder that I have. Because it, 2251 Okay. I was listening to you speak. Basically, that's probably my best recorder yet because it can record. I always do MP3, the highest quality possible. All those players can do WAVE as well, and I probably should be using WAVE to record high-end stuff. But I was, yeah, but the OCR technology on that one player doesn't work real great. And I think I've gotten to read a few letters, which is about it. It doesn't really read. It won't read the computer screen at all. I'm not going to demo it here because you wouldn't hear anything. But it's a nice player. I mean, they're all good players. It's just, you know, what you use it for. And I think people have bought some sort of a stand. I don't know if it comes, well, mine didn't come with a stand. I think you can buy it as an accessory. I personally don't like those because the view of portability is that it's portable. And a big stand that you have to carry around with it to read your printed paperwork, to me, is not portable. So, yeah. Let's just say that it's not good design, good thinking, but didn't work real great. And I don't know about the ET with the number pad, if its OCR is better or not. I haven't played with one. I mean, I played with one, but I haven't tested it. And I'm not paying another $800 for another player that says it does things, and then you get it and it doesn't do what it says. But yeah. But, you know, my player works fine for what I need it for, and you know, they still fix them. And so my view is if they still repair them, you know, why get new? And, you know, if all you're using it for is reading books, music, and podcasts, and radio streams, and the players do what they want, do what they're supposed to do, you know, even if they don't receive software updates, it's not like you have to throw it out the door. It's not like a phone where eventually it's not going to work anymore. I don't know if I did hear somewhere that some of the older phones, cell phones, they don't work anymore. They shut down the towers, so they won't work anymore. Some of the newer towers, I guess, will communicate with the old phones, but I think it depends on the phone, and I think it depends on a lot of things. So some of the older phones don't work anymore. I don't even know if you could make emergency calls on those. But, yeah, that's interesting. I guess their view is that if it's an emergency call, and these people are talking again through my phone. But the I'm just saying because a lot of these things, if the phones don't work anymore, I guess the view is people think they probably do a monitor check before they shut those down, just see, well, how many of these phones are actually, you know, using these towers, and if there's zero using them or very few, you know, if they assume, well, people have upgraded or whatnot. And I guess even having a disconnected cell phone in your car is not really a good thing, because if you have to make emergency calls and you're disconnected, they can't call you back. So, I don't know, though. I've never had to make an emergency call, and I hope I never do. I don't know if you make an emergency call and you hang up, if they call back or not. I've never tested that one out, and I don't plan to. But yeah. Let me see something here. I kept this diffuser up there. And, this is from Aroma Ace from Diffuser World. That's at www.diffuserworld.com. I'm touching this pump. It's a nebulizing diffuser. And I might as well put the bottle back on it. There's actually no scent coming out of there. So, oils empty. That's why it's kind of rattling. I don't know if you can hear that. I certainly can. That's the bottle with the silencer on it, the 1 ouncer. And you know, yeah, I'd hate to be having a phone and it work one day, and then you power it up and it doesn't work anymore. And the reason is because they shut the cell towers down. That would not be a good way to find out your phone doesn't work anymore. Well, it's not the phone doesn't work anymore, except they want you to buy a new phone. that's the issue. But, yeah. But, yeah. I actually, one time I used a rotary dial phone. And, yeah. I like those rotary dial phones that you used to do. And you used to have the little arm you had to pull the digit back to and the spin of the dial, you know? I like that. Yeah, that's an interesting phone back in the day. I don't know why they didn't have cell phones that were rotary dial. But, well, they actually did have a few cell phones that had number pads that were in that configuration, like circular. I forget exactly which ones they were. They were a long time ago. Yeah. But most devices are usable now. Um, Yeah, okay. Now's the time the diffuser just shut off that I need to put more oil in it. And I might as well just go ahead and do that right now. Well, I don't have any oil really open. Brand new ones. Well, I'm not going to worry about it right now. I will, however. I will go wash this bottle out of the diffuser. And I will be back here in a moment. Washing this diffuser out. And the nice thing about diffusers is that they put out a nice scent. And I guess I will go ahead and I have this flip top bottle of the forest pine scent. That's the bottle. And I'm going to go ahead and fill this diffuser while we are here. Let's see this bottle. It's time anyway, so you might as well be filled now. The only nice thing about the diffuser in this bottle is having a flip top is it's easy to refill. Yeah, I would hate to be on a telephone and all of a sudden we find out that they shut the towers down so that the phone doesn't work anymore. I guess, of course, they probably gave them text or calls or emails or something to... let them know, hey, your phone is going to be no longer working after this date. And I'm sure that they are definitely made aware before the phone is shut down that the phone will no longer work after a certain date. I'm sure they have schedules and things in place so that that doesn't occur. All right. Got a little bit of
pine in there. This forest pine scent, I'm not exactly 100% sure what brand it is. We will, I'll close the bottle. There's enough in there. There's a 16-ounce bottle. Hardly any is used, so there's definitely more than enough for another day's use. It's a 1-ounce bottle, and I guarantee you this is not filled up all the way, but it's filled up enough for probably the rest of the day. Oh yeah, there's another scent in here. I will, I hate to, when I get a new scent, I hate to fill it up all the way in a bottle, because I run the risk of filling it in and clogging a device, and then the device not work anymore. So let me go wash my hands off of all this gooky oil, because this way good thing is we don't have to worry about getting oil on the computer now. That is not, especially with Apple. Apple would not like me trading in this machine and having system not work right with oil in the keyboard. But anyway, real quickly here. I'm just going to, since we're not getting any calls, I would like to determine just how well this phone works as a microphone. So I'm going to demo the sink here, just to not put the phone in the sink, although I have read that the Google Pixel 5 is water pressure resistant up to about feet, but not that speed here. If I get an old phone or I get a phone that I don't care about anymore and doesn't mean anything to me, I could test out the water resistance factor, but I will not do it here. I know that you were probably wanting to hear that, but I myself do not want to do a test on the resistance of water in a phone. And I generally like to keep my technology as dry as possible. Interesting. The sink is full. I will now release the drain and drain it out. Going down now. There we go. Everything works beautifully in the bottles and atomizers are all cleaned out and everything is in a working state. So that is a plus. That is a real plus. I probably should have done all this before I came on, but I wasn't sure if the release system would work with it. So therefore, we had to improvise. And I wasn't sure as to if it was working or not. So I will put this back where it was on the MacBook Pro. And again, we will experiment with this and figure out how it will function. And hopefully, we will have interested listeners. Again, more will come with this show. I would not have started this show if all it was going to be was me babbling on it. But deal with it. I will probably switch over to other things when I have things that work right. We will talk about those when I have a working setup. I don't want to bring discussions of software in that may or may not work with it. And so as a result, I'd rather wait until I had a working setup with something. There's a number of tools that work with it. Station Playlist Studio is one of them, which I have. I tried to do a test with it, and for some reason, it does not want to work with this system, and I don't know why. It says it's working, and then it doesn't work. It disconnects, and nothing is heard. So, and nothing is broadcast. So, I don't know if it's the encoder, if it's the setup. I entered everything correctly in there, and it doesn't seem to do what it's supposed to. And I wrote them, and I own the product, but I do plan on using it for other things. So. I bought the Super Pro bundle, which contains everything. I figured, why not just upgrade and get everything rather than not have everything? And it's just better, I think, just to get everything. And then if you don't need it, you don't use it. And this way I don't have to worry about whether I own it or not. I have serial numbers for everything. And it works. It doesn't have an issue, and it's not that it's not working. It's the fact that maybe something's not configured correctly. It might need to be that I need to use another encoder that does function right. I'm not suggesting everybody migrate to that yet, but the tools that work are the tools that work. Audio Hijack works on the Mac just fine. And apparently it does work with the new ARM-based architecture. And obviously we will see what happens here. Let me just ask in con here real quick. Is the VoIP quality okay, or should I go back to the computer's or
broadcasting.
I was reviewing things, and the volume is high at 9, and everything is working here. I was reviewing everything just to make sure I didn't miss anything, and luckily I didn't. And apparently, this is the way the OIP sounds. I was under the impression that it would be better quality, a little bit with SIP, but I guess the quality of the Linphone is also based on the fact that I don't know how the robot DJ dials into this call. So therefore, if it's using a regular phone thing, whatever it's using to send the audio over, that could have a fact as well. And that is really weird. Oh, yeah, the phone numbers to dial in here. If you were listening live, the SIP extension on sip.sdf.org is 1095. Also, if you were on the phone, you could dial 929-299-1279. And that is the number that that they have here in the portal. And I looked at it just before I came on here to make sure it was correct. And that's what was written here. And that is on anonradio.net, anonradio.net, /manage, manage. And you enter your username and password, and the information is there. And apparently you can upload, for DJs, you can upload files. Disc jockeys can upload archives. They can upload spots. I haven't done that yet. I should. But I haven't done it yet. And apparently you can also manage things as well. I don't know. I haven't played with it much, but apparently it is doable of some regard. I generally don't like to delete things because I don't think that's really good to do. And I especially hope that this is being archived. Hopefully it is. Our membership told me that I asked that question too many times before, so I will not do that anymore. And assume that it is, and I will archive my own shows, and if it doesn't go through, then it doesn't go through. But, yeah, I agree that talking about that is kind of something that the majority of the people probably do listen to it through the archive, and if it's already in the archive, they probably don't need to be hearing, is it? Because it is archived at that point. But this station does have some good shows on here. There's a lot of interesting ones. I don't always know all the names of all the shows, but I listen to them, and they're good shows. And if you listen on the web, since I am totally blind, I mainly use players.
15/30/15/35/50/50/HTTPS/archive.net.
okay, I was listening to eSpeak, and it was working fine, and the diffuser just kicked in with the pine forest scent. It's pine forest is the name of the scent there. Not forest pine, it's pine forest. But anyway, we will continue to talk here. I don't really pay attention to all the names of the shows. When I hear them, they're just good shows, and some of them are neat, some of them are different. And so just if you like them, listen. If you don't. There's nothing to it. And there's interesting stuff here. And one thing I noticed about Linphone is it does tend to relay back your audio on the speaker a little bit in Linphone itself. I notice sometimes you'll hear a little click or a noise. I don't think that comes over the internet stream, but I do notice it in my phone. I have the speaker phone turned on, and even with the earpiece enabled, you'll get a little kickback of audio. It's not too terrible. Yeah, but and I heard another click there. But it's not. Hopefully, that's not coming through the internet stream. It's not too terrible, but it's there. I do notice it. But I need to do more looking at the SDF.org tutorials, and maybe look at fixing some of those, because some of them are, I don't want to say old, but they could use a little bit of updating. But again, I think that's because of the fact that some of them are written for NetBSD, and NetBSD is pretty old. I mean, it's new in terms of new software, but it's old in terms of it's been around a while. And, you know, they're all good OSs. You know, Linux is good, NetBSD is good. Linux has accessibility in it with eSpeak up for the console and Orca for the GUI. Depending on what GUI you use, I think Mate is the one that everybody's using now. But I use both. The GUI that is that's there, and you know, NetBSD doesn't really have much. None of the BSDs have screen readers in them, especially during the installation process. With Debian Linux, I can hit S and enter during the boot process, and it will talk with software speech. Of course, the Mac has VoiceOver in it, which you can enable in recovery mode as well as in the setup screen. And the nice thing is when you enable accessibility in Debian or in, I think Ubuntu does that as well. Although it uses Orca, and so that's different. But when you enable it, accessibility in those OSs, the Mac or Linux, generally speaking, during the installation, if you enable it during the installation and make sure to create a username, the accessibility is carried over to the main system. So I always say, well, if somebody installed your system and they didn't enable accessibility, then you can manually go back in and tweak the files and whatever, but I say it's best just to enable it from the get-go. And during the installation, and this way it's automatically enabled when you use it. That's why I always install the desktop environments and whatnot, because you just generally pick one, the standard one that it comes with, and I was going to do a tutorial on Debian installation with speech. The issue that I keep coming across is, number one, by the time you do the tutorial, when it comes out in 6 months, it's going to be outdated because there's going to be new out there. Or two, you run into a situation where you're in the middle of a tutorial, something happens to the audio or something, and it doesn't work right. And then you do this whole installation and then find that it's not working. Oh, yeah, I can definitely smell pine from the pine forest scent. But, yeah. The Debian installation isn't that difficult. I would probably, if I was going to do a tutorial, I would use probably a virtual machine with VMware. But it's a nice setup. It's a good system. And this Linux laptop is probably on its way out the door. It's 11 years as old as well. And, it's old. I bought it from a friend of mine. And used, of course. Probably not a good idea to buy used hardware, especially laptops. The CD drive in here, it's one of those slot drives, and it's pretty much shot. I can't really redo the installation of the OS because of the fact that it won't try to boot it off of USB sticks. I tried to boot it off of a USB drive. It will not do anything. So I did use the Grub ISO image boot method to do a reinstallation of Debian. And it did function. But, I need to get probably a newer Linux machine that is better at certain things. I got that server for compiling things, but for general use case, I probably need to eventually get a new machine. But, this one, Linux isn't as bad as Windows when it comes to no updates anymore. But, it's running, this run is running, I believe it's Debian 12. And that is in testing at the moment. And I find that running stable is not always that great. They say to use stable, but I find that stable is quickly outdated and it doesn't always run the latest stuff that you would think it would. And I get that's the term stable, meaning it runs, it works. But, the server's a great server. It works great. It's just very loud, and I just got to find a place to put it where it can get internet and power and whatnot, and a good uninterruptible power supply, which I will look into again when I find a place to put the machine. you know, I need to get something. What I don't want is a surge to hit it or something, or the generator to, we have a generator, but it will kick in and it will, what I don't want is something to cook the machine. And so that's why I want to have something that is an uninterruptible power supply. Okay, and but yeah, the Super Micro server is a nice server. I haven't actually done much with it, but it does function. It does work, so that's good news. It does actually do what it's supposed to do. Okay, we have 14 listeners. Good. That's good news. Okay, I was kind of not sure if it was actually streaming to the internet, but good news, we're working. Anyway, the server, yeah, it's a nice server. I haven't done much with it because I first want to back up the disks, make an image of the disks, so that if there's a problem, I can easily go back to the default, sort of the factory state, as it were. And I'm going to do that. When I set it up in its new home, the nice server is that it's it does what it needs to do, just loud, and I got to figure out where to put it, where if we have guests, it doesn't keep everybody awake at night. You know, it's a nice system. It does. Let's see. By default in NetBSD. If power fails, will the system fix any errors? Okay, and hopefully, we will, get some answers here. I would assume that NetBSD would repair itself. But I don't know. 100%.
The water is within KDIC. I live in the first word right now. FDSD probably the FSCK has moved like any other unit system.
Okay, FSCK does reboot like any other Linux system. Okay, that's good. And they're listening, but they're at work right now. Okay, that's good news. That is good to know. If it is in a raid and power was only on it for about a second or two, would that mess it up?
Controller,
Okay, most good RAID controls have a battery backup for their write cache. Okay. I don't know if the server does RAID or not. It's not that essential at the moment, but when I actually use it, how long does that battery last?
If you have a chance, https://net.org/docs/.
Okay, character docs, if you have a chance. I mean the RAID battery write cache. How long does it last?
If I mean the RAID battery write cache, how long does it last? How long does that battery last? Support which written that would only matter if you had roughly powered off the server and left it unpowered for an extended period of time.
Okay. It would only matter if you abruptly powered off the server and left it unpowered for an extended period of time.
Support which retained while it was in the middle of a write operation.
While it was in the middle of a write operation. Okay.
If
it was not, then it's being powered off for a long time. Is that okay for the hardware?
The vote which retail that's probably fine. You'll have to check the dots on the specific hardware to know what it does or does not do.
Okay, that's fine. You'll have to check the docs on the specific hardware.
The vote with that, or the vote which retail can usually raise errors if the battery is failed.
They usually will raise errors if the battery is failed. That's probably fine. You have to check the docs on the specific hardware to know what it does or does not do. Okay, if there is an important data stored on it, I wouldn't waste brain time worrying about it. If there is an important data stored on it, I wouldn't waste brain time worrying about it. I mainly want to make a full disk image backup of the drives first before I do anything with it, so I know
that I can go back to factory state should I need to. I hit space and type and then hit enter. And so far, I hear audio. So hopefully, and the diffuser shut off again. That Aroma Ace has a 20-minute runtime and 20-minute rest time I have it set for. I think you can go each stop and go between 2 and 20 minutes. Okay. They said you can do a clean. You can always do a clean installation of NetBSD if you have to. The clean install on NetBSD. I doubt it came with any OS installed from the factory. Yes, but SDF put on some Zen virtual guests. So I want to do a full backup of everything. I guess the proper term would be out of box configuration. I always do that, even if I do plan on wiping this machine in the future, because at least if something does ever break, you can go back to that setup. Okay, use DD. Okay, DD is your friend. Okay. Okay, I don't really care for DD, but that's. I want something better. That can do an image file that has compression that then I can boot into recovery mode and re-image the system. Yeah, they said you can always do a clean install of NetBSD if you have to. I doubt it came with any OS installed from the factory. Yeah, no, I don't know what it came with from the factory. SDF sent me the system, and they put NetBSD on it, and the 8 Zen guests with also, I believe they have NetBSD on them also, and they come on and boot. I do know that much. But it does work, and it's a nice system.
report which retained you could just gzip the image file.
Okay, I could just gzip the image files. Okay. What compression method is the smallest? Gzip or FZ? Or is there a smaller one than those?
What compression method is the smallest? Gzip or FZ? Or is there a smaller one than those?
Now, I'm kind of curious as to,
okay. All right. So you're on the phone.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how this,
Which remain you'll need to do your own research on that one. I just use what I know.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know. Okay. Would using a commercial product be okay for doing the backup?
If you're using a commercial product, be okay for doing the backup and restoration.
Yeah. Yeah, this, you can tell this keyboard's old because some of the keys don't always type what they say they're going to type.
Support which retail if you want to spend money and make it more complicated, sure.
Okay, yeah, make my complicated, okay. For Windows. From my Windows. I already own image from Windows from HTTPS www.terabyteunlimited.com to my Windows system and Linux system, so we're testing it out on that BSD. Be a good thing to do.
www.terabyteunlimited.com for my Windows system and Linux system. 1 test ticket out on that DSD, the other case in Tofu, where 07 7 22 14 45 01 14 45 21 15 minutes/35/56 You're listening to Nick 7 live show, a port with a limited support that DSD limit at ride 14 45 36 13/35/56 https://archive.adradio.net 14 45 37 get up SDF for left hand radio to remove and set to 4 guided meditation.
Okay, the support's not the SD try. I don't know what sports I do. Oh, yeah, it's from www.TERABYTEUNLIMITED.COM. TerabyteUnlimited.com is the, it's actually the image, drive image suite. It includes image for Linux, image for DOS, image for Windows, and image for UEFI. Now, why you would want to back up your UEFI stuff, I have no idea. But apparently there are people that do. I'm not sure what file system it is. But it can do what they call raw drive backups and restores. Which I assume means any file system, any configuration it can handle. But I don't know that for a fact.
You still have to run it on the machine somehow, right?
You still have to run it on the machine somehow.
Yes,
with a root disk or drive.
Why?
Okay, we only have 10 minutes left, so I'm not too worried. So we will hopefully have results. That last oil that was in that diffuser, by the way, that's a nebulizing diffuser, meaning it just pumps oil and no water. Because the ultrasonic ones pump mold. That was the Gurgeon Balsam Oil from Nature's Garden Candles. That's at www.naturesgardencandles.com. I bought 16 ounces. They sent it to me in 2 8-ounce aluminum bottles. And every scent is okay. It's just a matter of what you like. And I like real stuff. You can use fragrance oils, fake lab-based fragrances, but I find that essential oils from the real plants are better for you. You're not breathing in fake chemicals. And not that fake chemicals are all bad. Some people claim they all are. I think that a lot of these companies like to push their products, and so they will try to make other products sound bad, which I don't like. But that's what it is. And we are almost done. So I'm not really going to go into much more.
1450,
350, room up, FDF, ready to go. Yeah, it's about 7 minutes until we're done. So I'm not too worried.
Which remains in half usual in half to shut down the machine to get a consistent visit. Merck's operator are interested in keeping things up and running.
Because you usually have to shut down the machine in order to get a consistent image. Most server operators are keeping the machine up and running.
Okay, it's probably VMware or something like that, or their commercial products. Yeah, LXC and VMware EXXI. Okay. Then it's probably less trouble. Okay. Okay. That's good to know. And, that is that. I believe we are almost out of time. Well, this has been another interesting experiment, but it seems to have been working okay. I wasn't sure what we were going to get. But this is Nikki's cave. Hopefully, you know, things continue to work well. And have fun. So, you know. We're almost done here, so. It's been an interesting show. And I like using this voice over internet protocol system for broadcasting. Oh yeah, today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. It is 0907-2022. Yeah, there's 0907-2022, Wednesday, September 7th. I believe I said that at the beginning, but if not, I said it now. So hopefully this is, oh yeah, the SIP address is sip.sdf.org. I don't know if that matters, but session initiation protocol. It's used for a lot of things. I like it. And I believe we are almost done.